The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Ruth Graham, the daughter of evangelist Billy and Ruth Graham.
And we all have broken places. We have to admit our condition, you know, and know that we're all broken. None of us have it together.
Stay tuned as Ruth shares the importance of transparency with others, as well as telling yourself the truth.
I needed to realize that my security didn't come from others, it came from Christ. But all my life I've made decisions trying to find that security, trying to find that father figure, if you will. And I've made terrible mistakes as a result.
Hey, thank you. Thank all of you, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I are thrilled to have our special guest, Ruth Graham, with us. And I talked to Franklin here just not too many days ago, and I always ask how Daddy was at the time. He said, well, Daddy's sharp. He said, you know, it's amazing how keen his mind is. And he said he's sharp enough he can just be preaching. Well, Ruth is here, and you know, I just thank God for the Graham family. I thank God for the friendship we've had with Ruth, because she's been our friend for quite a while. We're kind of like family. Would you welcome our good friend Ruth Graham to Life Today? Ruth, good to see you.
Great to see you. Always great to see you.
Do you even remember how far back it was? In what year do you remember that you and your husband came down here at Billy's request and your dad's and some of the others to come down here and help this evangelist? You know, we were really young folks then, so yeah. you were helping a young evangelist. But do you remember what?
I don't remember the exact time, but I do remember coming down. I remember meeting you. I remember going to some of your crusades, and we would go along, and then of course we went on vacation together, which was probably dangerous. But we had a great time. Yeah, you know, friendship was forged early on.
You wrote a book years ago. In every pew, there sits a broken heart.
That's correct.
Why did you write that? Was that just observation? I mean, being the daughter of a highly visible evangelist, the most famous in the world, and you just saw this?
No, I was the broken heart in the pew. And I had the mask on, and I made everybody think I was fine. You know, I'm fine. But my heart was breaking. And I didn't feel like I could tell anybody. I didn't feel like there was anybody I could share that with, because I didn't know whether I'd be marginalized, prayed for. You know how we love to pray for people in the church. And so I just kept it to myself. But I was breaking inside it until I really began to crumble. And I realized that there are so many more people like me. I thought I was alone, but I wasn't. There are so many more people sitting in the pew with a broken heart. And that's why I wrote that book, was to encourage them to know that they're, the number one, they're not alone, and that there's hope. And we encourage one another.
You have been on quite a journey. Mm-hmm. Your first husband, of course, he's deceased. He's with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Your family's had some challenges. You talk about it. Mm-hmm. You had a daughter that had some challenges. You had a son that had some challenges. You've experienced personal challenges based on decisions. All right, what do you feel like you're learning and have learned that you want to pass on to others who may be experiencing some of the challenges you've had?
James, as you know so well, you and Betty know that I have been called to motivate the family of God to move by God's grace and unconditional love to places of brokenness, to places of healing and wholeness. And that's what God's called me to do, partly because I've experienced that. And we all have broken places. We have to admit our condition, you know, and know that we're all broken. None of us have it together. We love to pretend that all the sinners are on the outside of the church. But hello, you know, here we are. And so we're all broken, and we have to be honest about that. Then we have to realize, examine the brokenness. What caused it? What is it? We need to be honest. We need to tell ourselves the truth. And I'm really good at self-deception and manipulating advice, manipulating the scriptures to make it suit what I want it to say. And I had to learn to tell myself the truth. I got myself in a lot of trouble by deceiving myself. And healing will only come when we speak truth to God, to ourselves. And once we acknowledge this broken area, we then have to acknowledge that it hurts. You know, this is a painful experience, whatever it is, and then let it go through forgiveness so that we can grow. As long as we're holding on to these broken places and not dealing with them And keeping them covered over, they're going to fester and like a boil. They have to be lanced. And then we can move on to grow. And to grow, you have to be in a community that's authentic. You have to be in a community that will hold you accountable. You have to be able to be honest with them and transparent with them. They have to be a safe place. And I love churches that are safe places. I've had the privilege of speaking in a number of churches that are offering safe places to their congregation. And healing is taking place and growth takes place.
It's like the church is moving from a meeting house to a home setting. It's more like we used to go, it seemed like, to say we checked in, showed up. It's like now they're realizing that God really put us here as a family, as a hospital, and a place for people to come who are hurting and to have a family relationship. And that's what I'm hearing you talk about as corrective measures, not only what we do individually, but what we need to find our way into. So you're actually saying something to the whole family of faith, to the whole church. Excuse me.
Well, isn't a lot of the problem, though, as Christians, though, we don't think that we are allowed to admit that we're broken or we're hurting, because then that's saying, well, we don't have it all together.
That's right.
You know, we're supposed to...
We want to make Jesus look good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if we do, too, we think, well, our life is destroyed. It's over if we admit something's wrong.
But there is such freedom in being honest and transparent. And recently I spoke at George Fox Evangelical Seminary up in Portland, Oregon. And I talked about transparency and I shared a little bit of my story and I was transparent with them. Well, not too long ago, I got an email from one of the faculty up there, and he was to address the devotions for his department. And he said, because of what you did, you were transparent, I'm going to take the risk of being transparent myself. And he had a story of abuse, and he cautiously, with fear, shared his story. And then he sent me the emails and the letters he got back and how people said, it was a blessing, it was a gift, you changed my life. I'm so glad you shared that. Transparency ministers to people. When we share our story, it ministers. And I often tell the story when I went to church one day, I was sitting in the pew and a friend behind me said, oh, how are you, Ruth? And I said, oh, I'm fine. And you know, put the mask on. During the service, the Lord convicted me that I'd lied to her. So after the service, I went to her and I said, you know, I lied to you. I am not doing fine. Things are not well at my house. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you said that. She said, because they're not good at my house either. Can we pray together? Well, see, if I hadn't been honest with her, that ministry would never have taken place. I am convinced that we have to be transparent with each other for ministry to take place.
I feel like, and again, you've watched Betty and me from up close and personal and from a distance, and I feel like that our viewers have seemed to appreciate and respect us, not only because God gave us a broken heart for the broken. Mm-hmm. And our viewers believe if you can actually make a difference in an area of suffering, we'd like to help. And they say that. But they also communicate that the fact that Betty and I have talked about, it seems like we talk mostly about my challenges, right? About, you know, where I needed help. And everybody said, we can easily agree with that. But when we open up and talk about those challenges or my failure, it's like there's a trust factor. And there's an identification factor that comes into where they say, I believe he would understand me. Mm-hmm. He would probably really still love me if he knew me, because after all, he's telling me about his weakness.
That's right.
Not telling us about his strengths that we might think we see. He's admitting he's vulnerable. He's failed. And he found grace. And now
we can identify
grace
with that.
And so people
we can't identify with perfection and people who have it all together. You know, we just don't, because we know our hearts and how we struggle. And so it's nice to find a fellow pilgrim who struggles too. And so often these self-help books talk about they want to build on strengths. God wants to build on weakness. You know, as we give it to Him, He can build strength out of the broken places.
Paul said, in my weaknesses, He's made strong.
Absolutely. And certainly one of my core broken areas is abandonment. As a little girl, my father was gone so much. As a little girl, I read that as abandonment. He was doing what God called him to do. I'm not blaming, I'm not finger pointing, but as a little girl who needed her daddy and he wasn't home, I saw that as abandonment. When I was dropped off at boarding school with mononucleosis, didn't know a soul there, and was isolated in an infirmary, my mother had to go on to Europe to be with my father. I felt abandoned. When I was first married, my husband went off for 2 weeks to help rescue a scout that was lost in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And I was abandoned. I was scared to death. And then, of course,
now, he was doing what he should have done. All of them were doing what they should have done.
That's right.
But yet it registered with you
as abandonment.
Here I am alone again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I needed to realize that my security didn't come from others, it came from Christ. But all my life I've made decisions trying to find that security, trying to find that father figure, if you will. And I've made terrible mistakes as a result. Now I'm realizing that Jesus is my security. God is my father. And yes, it's wonderful to have father, brothers, friends, but you have to center it on God. And that's really freed me up a great deal.
You know, I think that we have a real father dilemma. Missing fathers. Many homes are fatherless. If the father's even there, he doesn't function as a healthy father with the spiritual sensitivity. And then we get a misconception of what this father's like by either not having a father or having a father that's dysfunctional in some way. And so I think there's this real crying out for father. I know with me, not having a father, I long for it. You know, I still long for affirmation. I told you when we left a meeting earlier, I said I'd probably turn to you and say, "Would you want to share it? Okay. But what am I asked to do? I'm asking the Father to, you know, say through you, a woman, to say, that's good. I still want to hear the voice of the Father. I will ask Betty, how do we do?" So we all have that longing. And here's the thing that I'm discovering, though, is that what you just said, we can really develop a relationship with God. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't still have an interest. Mm-hmm. It's really nice, you know, for God the Father to have some flesh in front of us to manifest the Father's heart to us. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I really sense you're trying to say to everybody, if we get well on the inside, relate properly to the Father, we're going to actually reveal the Father to a broken world.
Absolutely. For in desperate healing and
need
hope. Yes.
Of the healing.
That's the whole
hope.
Point of it, is to give healing and hope to other people.
All right. What do you want to do? Here you are, Billy Graham, Ruth Graham's daughter, named Ruth after mom. What do you want to do now? I mean, we've got pastors and churches and people all over the world that are saying, if you would come to our church, let's say for the weekend, and you would speak. I mean, do you want to do that?
I'd
would you
love
want
to.
Pastor and church to say, invite me to come. I would like to share, if you not only from the pulpit, if you want me to share, but if you want to have sessions or you have a certain part of the church come who maybe are hurting, or maybe I'm in an area where you're ministering to people, or maybe everybody's willing to come in and say, hey, we're hurting. Let's talk. Is
this what you want to do? Or if they just want to come see what Billy's other kid looks like, that's fine too. I don't care how they get there. I just want to minister to them.
That's the only one Billy's kids look like now. Look at the other one. Look at the one that's had the most trouble.
Right.
We just say that. Look at Billy's trouble.
At least the one that's admitted it.
Okay, I'll talk to you all later. But see, by the way, I know the whole family, and they've all been here. I mean, they've all been there. They're our friends, and we just had Tullian on.
Tullian
on, and Tullian, you gotta be charismatic to pronounce his name. And we have a lot of fun, and he really
He's
loved
terrific.
Being here. So I love the whole Graham family. But the thing about it is that it's an interesting thing when people get to hear. I mean, to say your mom and dad were legends, to say they're great historic Christian figures is almost sound like an understatement. To meet a daughter and the family, in my opinion, because I know them, they love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And for you to come and say, here's my journey, here's one of the family that's talking about where I've been, and maybe you and I have had some similar challenges, and I'm willing to talk about it because I want to help you, and in this journey, we're going to both grow.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I hear you say.
Absolutely. And I love people, and I love looking at people's eyeballs. You know, when I go into a church, I don't, you know, stay in the back. I want to meet the people. I'm out there to have lunch with them if lunch is offered. You know, I want to be with them because I want to touch their hearts. I want to know their hearts. I want to hear their hearts. And knowing that what God has done in my life and the grace He has given me, and I want to pass it on. I want to be a channel of God's grace.
And you've seen God work miracles. You know, we talked about your own children facing some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably, I think might have been from Windsor, but some of the letters that I got when mom was going through some challenges, was that the one that was probably...
Yes.
It was awesome. Windsor was awesome. It was really nice. Be honest with you, it was like love letters from Jesus. And it was love for mom. It was love for all the challenges. In other words, you were there. And I want to just thank you. Let me just say that your sensitivity, Your expressiveness was a wonderful gift from God. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So see, you've watched the Lord do some beautiful things. I talked to your son not too long ago. We had a wonderful, it's almost kind of like a father to son type talk. Mm-hmm. You know, it might have been more like uncle, but it was great that we were able to talk. Mm-hmm. And he knows I have love for him because I've been praying for him the time he took a hard fall.
I never
forgot it because, I mean, we could have lost him.
Oh,
right,
absolutely.
There.
He could have been crippled for
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. And so we just thanking God. So see, you're a part of my prayers and mom's a part of my prayers, but you have such an interesting story. I feel like, and I've told you this to your face and I've said it on national and worldwide television, you have a great anointing to communicate. Mm-hmm. You have a glory on you that comes from the Lord because of what you just said a moment ago. You said, I really like to look at people. I really care about people. She really cares about people. She would love to be with you. So I'm going to say, website. What website will we put up?
RuthGrahamAndFriends.org.
All right. So you go to that website, and then you'll know how to communicate with her. And if you say, we'd like you to come. Now, let me just say this to you. As an evangelist, take care of her when she comes. Mm-hmm. Would you do that? In other words, bless her. Bless her life. Say, we love you. We want to bless you. We want to invest in what God's called you to do. I'm asking you to do that. And Ruth, I just really pray that God will open more doors to you than you've ever witnessed, because I think that much of the church, it's not just a broken heart. I think they're broken, overlooked, and oftentimes, to be honest with you, they're downtrodden because they've been trodden under the foot of religious people.
Amen.
A lot of people are leaving church because they met people in the church who didn't seem to have met the Father, and they've been hurt. But you want them to know the Father God. You want them to know forgiveness. You want them to know restoration. Am I right about that?
Amen. Absolutely. That I have received myself. I'm not speaking from some, you know, high place. I've been in the ditch. I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to be dead and alive, lost and found. I know the story of the prodigal. You know, that's my story.
And you know what it's like to be the one found in the ditch.
Yes, that's right.
And you know what it is to find someone in the ditch. So you know what both sides feel like. Mm-hmm. And I think what I sense God sending you out to do is not only try to get the person out of the ditch of despair and hopelessness, but to get them up to where they are able to reach in.
Amen. That's the whole
and
point.
Pick people up.
Yeah, that's the whole point. If we're not healed in order to help, then we become stagnant. We've got to flow out.
Well, Father, I just ask you to bless Ruth, bless the whole Graham family and all the kids and grandkids and just the whole family, everything they do. And Lord, I ask you in a special way to bless Ruth as she really now says, look, I've experienced some things that I know people can identify with. I want to meet those needs in Christ. Now, Lord, I ask you to enable her in the greatest way ever to do that, in Jesus' name. Would you just say thanks for Ruth Graham being here and just sharing her heart? I'm telling you, this is awesome. By the way, we are offering Randy Robinson, our son's book. And let me read what Ruth said about Randy's book, because she read it. She said, if you want to know happiness as God intends it, read this book. That was wonderful. And we are offering this, Ruth, this book that Randy wrote about the joy of the Lord. And it is absolutely excellent teaching, isn't it? It is
very
biblical. Uh-huh. It is wonderful. We're offering it to all of you who will do this. And I know how much you like this because you're a missionary and you have a mission heart, and your mother's parents were missionaries and they have that great heart. These shoes that we're giving to little children, we're asking you to help us. We call it Christmas Shoes and Christmas Smiles. We're asking you to help us give 200,000 children shoes for Christmas. I want you to watch this. I get a smile because I see need, yes, but I think about the joy of just putting shoes on little feet where they never had it. Watch closely.
Unfortunately, there are children around the world who have many different kinds of needs. Some are hungry and thirsty, in need of food to eat or clean water to drink. Others still simply have never had a new pair of shoes, or they are unable to smile due to a cleft palate.
All year long, we come to you and tell you about things that change people's lives, that save people's lives, and you're a part of that. I want to tell you what we want to do this Christmas, is we do what's called Shoes and Smiles. A little child just like this has a cleft palate that's never had a real smile. We give them surgery, and this little child will have a new smile. Little kids like this that have never had a pair of shoes before in their life, we give them one.
A child with bare feet may seem harmless, but the potential danger for children living in these types of conditions can be life-threatening.
And you know, one of the things we found in the Central American countries is they've got a real problem with hookworms, which they get from walking in dirt or sand, and then it creates a tremendous intestinal problem. And the answer is just shoes. And we can provide, literally, for some of them, the first pair of shoes they've ever had. Not only for fun and comfort, but for health.
During the past several holiday seasons, Life Outreach and its missionary partners have passed out thousands of pairs of shoes to children in many different countries around the world. In addition, we have been able to restore numerous children's smiles through corrective surgeries.
You know, we've put smiles on the faces of these children today as we've given them shoes, but others need a little more. They need that cleft palate surgery. I hope you can help put a smile on even more children's faces. Do the best that you can, and you can give shoes and smiles to children all over the world. And so I have a special message just for you.
You like that?
I love it. It's so exciting to think that some of these children, for the very first time, they're going to have their first pair of shoes. And they may look at it and say, oh, good, you know, I got something to put on my feet. But I look at it as a mother and as a grandmother saying, it's going to help protect their feet from all the disease that can come from just walking around barefooted. And then, James, just to think about the smiles. I know how excited we were as young parents for our firstborn to be able to smile back at her mom and dad, you know. And some of these little children have never been able to smile because they can't. And we can make that difference.
Well, you know, when I look at the children, my mind right now is racing back at the images. Of course, the little kids dancing, and they're so excited, and they're so happy. But I also saw the little children there with their little cleft palate, and they were standing there by other children. And I don't know how you see them. I kind of have an idea we identify. I don't think you looked at them and thought that they weren't pretty too. I think you thought they were beautiful too. But I think that you would like for them to smile too, because I don't know how often they might not feel pretty. Or, you know, being different, just feeling different is one of the big challenges we have in the world. Left out, different. We can correct that. I mean, love is the most awesome force on the earth. It never fails. And I want to ask you to reach out and touch someone today with love. I want to ask you to dial that telephone number. If your heart was broken right now, if you said, I really need somebody to pray with me, I'm hurting, you could be like the thousands of people that call every day. Because the majority of people who call every day, 70 or 80% of them, it's people calling to say, I need somebody to pray with me. And here during our last week of the shoes and smiles emphasis, the Christmas special gift we want to make, we're going to ask you to reach out in love and dial that number and say, here's my gift to provide shoes. We want to give 200,000 children a pair of shoes. And we want to give as many as we can of smiles. The surgeries cost $500. We're asking you very directly, if you give $1,000, two surgeries. Could you do that? We're sending the beautiful lion and the lamb bronze. It's a collectible. It's an art piece. You don't give to get. We give to you to bless, and these artists say we want to bless the people who help you bless others. So we want to send that, if you'll help us provide those smiles. Then the shoes, $36. 10 children have shoes. They're $3.60 a pair. 72, we got 20. 144, we've got 40 pairs of shoes. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to make that gift. Reach out and dial the number. Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're mailing. You can go to lifetoday.org and make your gift. We're going to send you Randy's book. Our son wrote, God Wants You to Be Happy. We'll send you the beautiful little Christmas ornament, the little shoe. It's beautiful. Every time you look at it, you think about it. There's kids smiling right now around Christmas because we gave them shoes. Please make that gift. Please make that call. If you write a check, do let us know you're putting it in the mail. Call us and tell us what it is. Would you please? Thank you for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the inspirational new book, God Wants You to Be Happy, by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison. With your gift of $100 to help provide 28 pairs of shoes, you may request this beautifully crafted shoe ornament to place on your tree each Christmas. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, James, I look around and I see all these just beautiful children, and I think it's not things we're trying to give them. It's life through shoes to put on their feet, because there's so many diseases. It comes from walking around when they're bare feet. They pick up so many things that get in their system, in their bloodstream, and just slowly destroys their little bodies. So it's a need that we're asking for. It's not just a luxury. They need our help.
It's not even comfort. It's a chance. And we're asking you to help make this special gift a reality for so many children all over the world. By making a call or going online, lifetoday.org, and make the best gift you can, because you'll be making the greatest gift. You'll be making the gift of life. Well, Betty and I want to say thanks so much for your help. We're anxious to send you the special gifts. I want to remind you that Ruth Graham is available. I'm asking to put right now, there's her website, Ruth Graham and Friends. If you'd like her to come to your church, be a blessing. I promise you, she wants to get straight into the hearts of the people you love as pastors and church leaders. You have a special group. Well, you'll know how to contact her. And you'll be praying for that God will use her at this very special time in her life to be a blessing. Would you join us again saying thanks to Ruth? Ruth, we love you. We're praying for you. We're family.
That's right.
God bless all of you. We're family. Thank you for helping us give shoes and smiles for Christmas in this last week. Thanks for your help.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores. A victim of sexual trafficking tells her story of survival next week.
If I never get out of here, in my mind I was thinking, how do I call my mom?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.